I join with the things that have already been said and express my personal appreciation for you coming to be with us today. As mentioned, we just finished an excellent gospel meeting. We had excellent preaching, excellent attendance, excellent interest was shown, and excellent hospitality was extended. I know that our brother David and his family were very encouraged, and I thank each one of you for all the encouragement that you gave to him and to his family. I'm privileged to stand before you this morning and preach the gospel. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's what I'm committed to doing, serving after the ability that God has given and speaking as the oracles of God. I appreciate Nicholas reading to us from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20, in which the Lord anticipated the fact that Israel would select a king to reign over them. And there are some regulations that were set forth concerning the king. In Deuteronomy 17 and in verse 18, it is recorded, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law and a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." And so from that reading springs the concept, learn to read and read to learn. The king was to learn to read, and that he was to have a copy of God's law book with him, and he was to read therein all the days of his life. And through that reading, he was to learn a number of things. And so it dawned on me that one of our greatest faculties is the ability to read. Now, I didn't put this title on the board for the benefit of those who do not know how to read or have not yet learned to read. I believe that you and I may have the ability to read, but yet have we really learned to read? Those who are enrolled in school must learn to read. Oh, they already have the ability to read, perhaps, especially in the college years. But when they're given the assignment, they have to learn to read. And if they don't learn to read and read to learn, they're not going to succeed. They're not going to graduate, are they? They're not going to pass. But as much emphasis as is placed on learning to read in that realm, how much more emphasis needs to be placed on learning to read God's Word? Do we have God's Word with us? As the king was instructed, "It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." Have we learned to read? The Scriptures place a lot of emphasis on learning to read. And we'll divide our study into two parts. We'll talk about learning to read and then reading to learn. In Exodus chapter 24 and in verse 7, I'm impressed with the fact that Moses read. The Bible says that he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. We noticed in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19 that the king was to have a copy of God's law book with him, and he was to read therein all the days of his life. As well, provision was made for the law to be read before all Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31 and in verse 11, the Bible says, "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is in thy gates, that they may hear." And so emphasis placed on reading. In Joshua chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, it is said of Joshua, one of the greatest leaders of all time, that afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And so Joshua read the Lord's word. When you come to the period of the divided kingdom in 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 and 10, we find where Shaphan read the Lord's word. This is during the good reign of Josiah, where they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And in 2 Kings 22 and verse 8, Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. In verse 10, Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. When you come to chapter 23, you find where the king read the book in the ears of all the people. The king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we have recorded a scene where the people are gathered out of captivity, and they've come together for the public reading of the law of God. Nehemiah 8 and in verse 3 says, of Ezra he read therein, that is, in the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel, before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Down in verse 8, they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And then notice in verse 18, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Chapter 9 and verse 3 reports, and they stood up in their place, and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. Another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And so 1/4 of the day was spent reading in the book of the law of God. In chapter 13 and in verse 1 of the book of Nehemiah, on that day they read in the book of Moses and the audience of the people. In Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16, the prophet said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. When you read about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, in Jeremiah chapter 36 and in verse 8, you find occasion where the law of God was read. Baruch took a book wherein were written the words that had been spoken against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations. In Jeremiah 36 and in verse 8, the Bible says that Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And so from Exodus 24 all the way through Jeremiah 36, we find where much emphasis was placed upon reading. And when you come to the New Testament, emphasis is placed on reading, such that should cause me to learn to read, to develop the practice. What good is it to have the ability if we don't exercise the practice? In the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, it is said of Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Jesus often would ask people about their reading. When they would ask him questions, he might respond by saying, have ye not read, in Matthew 12 and verse 3, or have ye never read, Matthew 21 and verse 16, or did ye never read, Matthew 21 42, or as he did in Luke 10 and in verse 26, how readest thou? And so he expected people to be a reading people, and I must learn to read. The eunuch read in the book of Acts in chapter 8. We know that he was a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, Acts 8 and verse 27. And he's returning to Ethiopia. And what's he doing in his chariot? The Bible says in Acts 8 and verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. What would we have been doing if we'd been making that journey? Would we have been reading from the Word of God? In verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read. He heard him read because he was reading out loud the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse 32 says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. The eunuch read. When Paul wrote the Ephesians in chapter 3, he talked about how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, Ephesians 3 and verse 3, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He didn't talk about if ye read, but he said when ye read. When Paul wrote the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. How many of us have taken time to read the epistle of Paul to the Colossians? We must learn to read. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. When Paul wrote the young evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 13, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give attendance to what? To reading. And then in Revelation 1 and in verse 3, John said, blessed is he that readeth. I just wonder how many of us that have the ability to read have really learned to read when it comes to God's Word. Have we developed a systematic and regular practice of reading the Bible, the Word of God? I need to learn to do that. There's some people who say, well, I don't like to read. But you realize that in other areas of life, to be successful, you have to learn to read. And then finally, we must read in order to learn. When I look at these passages that we've just examined, that emphasize the importance of reading and teach us that we must learn to read, they also emphasize the value of reading to learn. You see, really, there can be no learning unless there is reading. In Exodus chapter 24 and in verse 7, notice that Moses took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And so I read to learn, but I learn to read. Why? So that I can learn what the Lord has said and be obedient. How am I going to know what the Lord has said if I'm not reading the Lord's Word? How can I be obedient to what the Lord has said if I've not read what He said? And would to God that we would have this same attitude as expressed by the people's promise when they said in verse 3, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And again, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. But sometimes we're not doing what the Lord said. We're not obedient. We're disobedient because we've not learned to read and we're not reading to learn what the Lord has said. But in addition to that, I must read to learn to fear the Lord, to keep, to do, to be humble, to not turn aside, and to prolong my days, just like the king in Deuteronomy chapter 17. In verse 19 of the law, it was said, he shall read therein all the days of his life. That's learning to read, isn't it? But he was to read to learn. To learn what? Look at the rest of verse 19. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. The wise man said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom. We must fear the Lord. That is the whole of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Peter preached in Acts 10 and verses 34 and 35 that in every nation he that feareth him, that's God, and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Why is it that some have not learned to fear the Lord? Because they've not learned to read. You can't read this book and not learn to fear the Lord. When you look at God's dealings with his people in ancient times and what happened when they disobeyed God, it could incite fear of God in our hearts. And so I learn to read and read to learn to fear the Lord. Next he says, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. How could he be expected to keep all the words of this law if he had not read all the law? And how can you and I expect to be found keepers of God's law, keeping all the words of this law, if we've not read all of it? And so I've got to learn to read, so I can read to learn, to keep, and to do. The Bible often emphasizes the importance of doing. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I've got to learn to do. And how can I learn to do unless I'm reading to learn? James talked about being doers of the word, not hearers only, in James 1, 22 through 25. And in verse 20, something else to be learned from reading, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. When I learn to read and read to learn, I learn that I need to be a humble man. That I need to think soberly and not think more highly of myself than I ought to think. You read of examples of people that were brought down by the Lord because of their pride and because of their arrogance. I think about Nebuchadnezzar, for example, who was made to eat grass like the beast of the field. And how that the principle endures that those who humble themselves, God will exalt. Those who exalt themselves shall be brought low or abased. And so I learned that from reading. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. I've got to stay on the straight and narrow. I can't become distracted. And there are those who've wandered off into right field or left field because they're not reading. And because they're not reading to learn. To stay on the proper path. To the end. What's the end of this? What's the aim? What's the objective of our reading? That we may prolong our days. Oh, there's a sense in which we can prolong our days physically. But you think about the wages of sin being death and the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23. And so we read to learn and learn to read, just like the king in Deuteronomy 17. But also when I turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 31, where emphasis was placed upon reading, the provision made for the public reading, they were to learn to read and read to learn. Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 11. Read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Why? Verse 12. That they may hear, listen, and that they may learn. And fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And so again, emphasis placed on reading to learn so as to fear the Lord and observing to do all the words of this law. If I'm not reading, then there's a good possibility that I'm not observing all the words of God's law. I also learn to read and read to learn that wrath comes because of not doing what the Lord says. Back to 2 Kings in chapter 22 during the reign of Josiah when they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. In 2 Kings 22 and in verse 13, it is written, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us. Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. Have they learned that great wrath from the Lord was kindled against them? They learned that from the reading of God's word. And so I learned as I read stories like this that wrath comes from the Lord because of not doing what he says. And again in 2 Kings chapter 23, when the king read in the audience of the people. In verse 3, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. And would to God we'd all be in agreement with this, to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And so we learn to read so that we can walk after the Lord. We learn to read and read to learn to keep His commandments and His testimonies. And to do that with all of our heart and with all of our soul, that we can be found performing the words of God's covenant. As you turn over to the book of Nehemiah once again in chapter 13, we notice that they read in the book of Moses. And notice what they learned on that occasion. Therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now look at verse 3. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. You see, they had not been found observing that, but they found written something that had not been kept. And what did they do? They separated. They made the proper change, didn't they? The proper correction. Nehemiah 13 and in verse 3. And so you and I need to read so as to learn what we've not done, so that we can do what needs to be done. We saw that back in Nehemiah 8 when the people were gathered together. And they were reading, and they found written in the law, verse 14, that the Lord had commanded by Moses the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. That's known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, fetch all the branches, pine branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. And so by reading to learn they hadn't been doing that. And they went and did as commanded. Verse 16, the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. Verse 17 says, since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And I'm just wondering, are there some things possibly that we've not been doing that God commands us to do, because we've not been reading to learn. We've not learned to read. We've not developed this habit, this practice of reading God's Word so as to know. And so we read to learn what we've not been doing so that we can do it. We read to learn repentance and to receive forgiveness of sins. I'll take us back to Jeremiah 36, where we saw the provision made for the reading. How that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in Jeremiah 36 and verse 2. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. But how would they do that unless there was the reading of it? And so we read to learn in order to return, in order to repent, to make the change that needs to be made from our evil way, so that we can receive forgiveness. Our iniquity and our sin can be no more. In verses 5 through 7, Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I'm shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. That's in the context of the ill treatment of the prophet by the people of the Lord. They had shut him up. And he was told, go thou, read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. In verses 23 and 24, it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves,
he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And here you see a terrible attitude toward the reading of God's law. He cut it with a penknife and he throws it into the fire. And the Lord said, yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. But you know, the fact that they threw that into the fire didn't change anything, did it? Verses 29 through 31. Thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I'll punish him and his seed, and his servants for their iniquity, and I'll bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. He caused another roll to be given, and they were added besides unto them many like words. Verse 32. And so I read to learn repentance, so that I can receive the forgiveness of my sins. But also from the book of Luke in chapter 4, where we saw Jesus standing up to read, I read to learn about Jesus. In Luke 4, in verse 16, Jesus stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And the place is Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it to the minister, sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so the prophets predicted Jesus. They spoke of Jesus. That's why the Ethiopian, when he was reading from Isaiah, and he asked the question that he did, that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And so we read to learn about Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the one who purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 29, verse 28. We learn about his birth, about the life that he lived, who went about doing good, the death that he died, the fact that he was raised up, that he is exalted at God's right hand, and that he's coming again. That he'll be our judge. And we need to prepare ourselves for that day. And so I read to learn about Jesus. How many people are informed about so many things, but uninformed about Jesus? Because they've not learned to read, and they're not reading to learn. But also we read to learn to learn the answer of our questions, and to stave off religious error. We have questions. And the Bible has answers. In fact, it has the only answers that really matter. We might be like those in Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 3 who came to Jesus and said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? They had a question about divorce. And Jesus said in verse 4, have you not read? And so by learning to read, I can learn about marriage and divorce and remarriage. I can learn that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Why is it that there are arrangements contrary to God's plan from the beginning? Because folks haven't learned to read, and they're not reading to learn about that and other subjects. I can learn there are no more twain but one flesh. And I can learn that what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. There's much value in learning to read and reading to learn. Problem is that folks haven't learned to read. Oh, they have the ability. But they're not exercising the practice and not reading to learn. And that results in religious error. Matthew 22, there were those who asked about the resurrection. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Verse 28. And Jesus said, ye do err. Why? Not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And so by reading to learn, I can avoid going off into religious error. And we live in a world of religious error that abounds. Why is it that so many people have gone astray? That they believe a lie? Because they've not learned to read. And they're not reading to learn. By reading to learn, we can learn lest we enter into a place of torment. To borrow some language from Luke chapter 16, when the Lord talked about a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen who fared sumptuously every day, Luke 16, 19. And a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And death is appointed unto all men, Hebrews 9 and verse 27. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. I learned that death does not end our existence. Well, it brings an end to our life here on earth. But we continue to exist, and we're going to lift up our eyes either in a place of comfort or a place of torment. And by learning to read and reading to learn, I can learn how I can avoid lifting up my eyes in torment. Read on with me in verse 26. He said, beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And so his petition is that one would be sent from the dead. He thought that if they could have somebody come back from the dead, that that would have the power to change their hearts, to bring them to repentance. He didn't want them coming where he was. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You'd think that if somebody came back from the dead, that'd make such a great impression, wouldn't it? But you know, there's more power in the Lord's word than there is in somebody coming back from the dead. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And there is a greater than Moses and the prophets. That's Jesus. Him shall ye hear in all things, the Lord said. Moses and the prophet Elijah were at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus was there, and God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew 17 and verse 5. And so all that I need to keep me from going to that place of torment, so that after I die, I can be in a place of comfort. I can learn when I read to learn. You see. So you can't read Luke 16 and not be impressed with the value of God's word to learn, lest we enter that place of torment. And from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17, when I learn to read and read to learn, I can learn the scriptures that are able to make me wise unto salvation. Paul said that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There are those who spend a great deal of time reading to learn other sources. Read to learn about science and read to learn about history. Read to learn about the human body. But how much time do we devote to reading, to learn the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation? Nothing else can do that. No other book can do that than the Bible. No other book is able to profit you as the Bible. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. It's able to make you perfect and thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. It's no wonder that Jesus then in John 5 and verse 39 said, "Search the Scriptures." Search the Scriptures. And there's no better example of that than those in Berea in Acts 17 and verse 11. The Bible says that they were more noble or fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. If this lesson would help just one person to spend more time reading this book, to exercise the practice of reading, that before you go to bed at night, if you just begin by reading one chapter, just start in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, and make it your habit. I'm going to read one chapter before I go to bed. Or when you get up in the morning, to read, to take some time out of your schedule to set aside for reading this book, to learn to read. The Bible is so widely available and accessible. But how many of us spend time reading it, learning to read? And I'm not talking about learning the letters of the alphabet and phonics and all of that, though that's important. But when we develop the ability to read, what is the greatest thing that we can do with that ability? It's to learn to read God's Word. And to do that regularly and faithfully. To have this book with us. After all, we are made to be kings and priests in the earth. We are a royal priesthood. And if the king of Israel was to have the book with him and to read all the days of his life so that he could learn, don't we need to have the book of God with us all the days of our life and read from it so that we can learn? Too many are taking what men say about it rather than reading to find out what God actually said. And so don't take my word for anything. I'm just a man, and men can be wrong. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, 1 Corinthians 2:5. But do like those in Berea, search the Scriptures daily. And if you should find written something that we've not been doing that we need to be, we want that brought to attention so that we can make the proper correction. Or if there's something that we're doing that we shouldn't be, we need to know about that. How will we know if we don't learn to read and read to learn? I appreciate your attention today. I hope that we'll all be encouraged to make the proper application to our own lives. Can you spend too much reading the Bible? I don't know that you can spend too much time reading the Word of God, but there's the danger of not spending enough time. And may each one of us, as Paul said, examine yourselves through reading. I can learn that I am guilty of sin. I can learn that all have sinned, Romans 3:23. I can learn that there is a price that is to be paid for that, that the wage of sin is death, eternal separation from God, Romans 6:23. I can learn about the Savior, Jesus, and all that He went through for the forgiveness of my sins. I learn what it is that I must do to have my sins forgiven. As folks in New Testament days said, "What shall we do?" They were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And I learned that by repenting of my sins and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I can have my sins forgiven. And I can be added to the church by the Lord. And I learned that as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, that when I sin, what I need to do to have my sins forgiven. I read in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, about a man who was baptized and his heart was not right in the sight of God soon after that. He was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." How do I learn what to do?
by learning to read and reading to learn. And I learned that I need to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And if I've not been faithful, I need to have the courage like I see in the prodigal who came to himself and came to his father and he said, Father, I have sinned. And I learned that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. As a painter loves and learns how to paint, and a poet learns and loves poetry, and as a mechanic can learn and love mechanics, you and I can learn and develop a love for reading and learning God's Word. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, more precious than gold. May God help us to read so as to learn and make the proper application. If we can assist you this day in making your life right with God, won't you come? Always stand and sing the song.